Hello and welcome to Knit Spirit. I'm your host, Ivy Reisner, and this is episode 77, Surprises. I'm done with clue 4 of both Secret Garden shawls. I was doing one, I told you, in the I'll Be Back colorways, the Skynet shawl, and one in one of the Gradients colorways. And I started clue 5 on the Skynet shawl, and it's taking a while. I've just been caught up with so much stuff. I have a writing project that I'm really excited about that I still don't know if I can talk about, but that is gobbling up a lot of my time. And it's a lot of fun, and it does need to get done, and it is wonderful, but it's keeping me from knitting. And there's going to be another mystery shawl knit along from the Unique Sheep. All I know right now is that it will start in January. It's not going to be circular, and it will probably be related to winter in some way. That it starts in January makes me think it's not holiday themed, but they did say seasonal. So something to look out for. They have a newsletter. If you go to their website, theuniquesheep.com, you can sign up and they'll send you updates on all of their clubs and projects and all that good stuff. I've been reading Pride and Prejudice, and I just love how that book seems to be everywhere lately, especially in the science fiction and fantasy community. We had the book Pride and Prejudice and Zombies come out earlier this year, and now Marvel Comics is in the process of adapting the work to comic book form. And, Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, a friend read it, and she said that Mr. Darcy, is very good at killing zombies, which I think is cool. It's on my short-to-be-read pile. But Sense and Sensibility and Sea Monsters is coming out soon, so we should probably see an interesting surge in that soon. And I'm kind of curious to see if Marvel is going to jump on board with the comic book adaptation of that work as well. But I'm just loving Pride and Prejudice. I took a break from it to read Misery by Stephen King. And King is a fabulous author, but even he pales in comparison to Jane Austen. She's just wonderful. I have totally given up trying to get the Knit Picks Market Bag project correct on my needles. I somehow messed up the lace, and what I was doing was dropping stitches, repairing, picking back up, realizing the next repeat was also off, dropping. I realized I was going to end up dropping every single stitch all the way down and just figured it's faster to frog. So I'm just going to rip the entire thing out and start anew and try to figure out where I've gone wrong with it, but faster to return it to yarn and then go from there. It is a really, really nice yarn. It's their organic cotton, and I'm loving it. And it's a nice pattern, so it deserves to be done right. And it's that woven stitch in the bottom, which I'm totally in love with. I'm cutting back on yarn clips. The idea of receiving a surprise kit is cool, but it reached a saturation point where I almost stopped picking my own projects. It's just whatever happens to fly at me next, I knit. And that was cool, and that was sort of what I was after, but now I'm kind of wanting to actually select my own knits. So I'm probably not going to be involved in too many next year. I've already signed up for Rams Club 3 and Stitch and Sip, both from Unique Sheep. I like their yarn. I like the way they do kits. But I'm probably, the only other one I'm probably going to sign up for is the Saksarina Club from Holiday Yarns, because those patterns are just so unique and so interesting. I don't think I'm going to quite be able to resist it, but I think that and possibly the mystery shawls is going to be pretty much it next year. And I started thinking about this around the time I started watching Clean House. And yes, that did have a big impact on my desire to hoard yarn. If you've not seen the show, it runs something like this. You have one host, you have one designer, you have one expert in yard sales and organization, and you have one handyman, aka the go-to guy. And it varies a bit. Sometimes you get different people. This foursome travels to cluttered homes in the California area, although when they do their search for the messiest house in the country, they go all over the place, looking to help the families dig their way out. And the formula is pretty simple. They say it in the beginning. First, they pull what they can out of the house. They sell it at a yard sale. What doesn't sell goes to charity. They take the money and they match it up to, I think it was $1,000. They use it to renovate the person's home, and then they bring them back for, ooh, surprise. The family has limited, they have full input on what can go and what cannot go, but they have limited input on the design. The designer will try to get a sense of the person's style, favorite color, all that stuff. But then, but the family is sent away to a hotel for 2 days while they work on everything, and they bring them in blindfolded and they show them room after room. Sometimes it works and sometimes not. And I came to empathize with this whole thing when I had to have my bathroom sink replaced last week. I rent an apartment, so the super puts in the authorized appliances. I don't get a say. And I was out the whole day, so I was kind of worried about what the sink was going to be like. They were going to totally mess it up. It was going to be icky. I don't know. I can't imagine having to go through this with an entire home. If a sink was getting me nuts, I couldn't imagine going through this with like a living room. But I realize that's the double-edged sword of surprises. Sometimes we like them, and sometimes we worry about them, and sometimes they really let us down. And it depends on how important the matter is. Obviously, in a yarn club, even if the yarn is just horrible, you can just trade it with somebody else or just let it hide and stash or donate it or whatever, or dye it if it's just the color is bad, or double it if it's too thin or whatever, or use it for a different pattern if just the pattern is terrible. For a house, like, it's just a much bigger deal. But in all that thinking, I was thinking that if how much it matters impacts how important it, or if how much it matters impacts whether or not it's good that it should be a surprise, it's interesting that, of course, the most important thing is a soul. And yet there are hints in the Bible that we are capable, to some extent at least, in surprising God. And I'm just going to borrow, because it's easiest, from Luke 15. 4-10, this is a parable told by Jesus. And what he says is, let me pull this up. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Okay, let us be kind here and not point out that the average adult sheep weighs somewhere between 150 and 200 pounds, and that sheep really don't take well to be carried on someone's shoulders. But moving on. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin.' In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Well, in order for the return of a sinner to be in this way delightful, then the outcome has to have been in doubt. As the lady didn't know if she'd find her coin, and the shepherd didn't know if he'd find his sheep, so too God must wonder if the sinner would return, a willing abstention from perfect omniscience. If all is known, the conclusion is foregone, and although it would be satisfying, it wouldn't fit the uncertainty and delight that's described here. So that leaves the opportunity for surprise. And I wonder if we ever truly do surprise God. I wonder if he forges us all, gives us free will, and then sort of delights to see what we do with it. I'm torn on that one, because at some point I do think there is perfect omniscience, which precludes the possibility of surprise. And at other times I kind of like the idea that he puts us out and kind of wonders what we'll do. We amuse him, we delight him, almost like watching a cat run around and do something exciting, and it's like, oh, what a cute, funny thing the cat's done. If he looks at us and goes, oh, what a cute, funny thing the human's done. And one of the reasons I'm loving the Secret Garden knit-along is that the members are adding design elements, such as lining up the double decreases from band to band. The designer never intended that, but the members started doing it, and then we started getting instructions on exactly how to do it. And I wonder how much we could do of that in our own design, how much our heavenly designer never intended of us, but we do, and if that makes him smile. I have a prayer request this time. It's for Trina Davidson. She's a mother, she's been in a major car accident, and she's in the hospital. So I'm asking prayers that she make a quick and complete recovery. That should wrap us up for this time. Until next episode, be blessed and keep knitting.